It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Josh Brown.
Hello, Scott Tilford.
And James Dowse.
Josh first this time.
I just thought I'd mix it up. You know what else is mixed up? Toy Story 2 on PlayStation Premium Plus.
No way!
I know! What were you going to say?
I was going to say, I cannot believe you came to me first there.
Yeah.
You never come to me first. No. And you picked the day that I was off mic stifling a burp. You saw me do it, and you came over to me anyway. I was stretching.
Thanks, Scott.
Yawning.
I am looking at the timeline. Mr. James Dowse, you've been spoiled for many weeks in a row.
Yeah,
Pass the spotlight across. Now, speaking of cool things, again, Toy Story 2 is going to be on the PlayStation Plus premium list, which isn't what we're going to talk about. However, I think the current energy in the gaming industry is very chaotic right now, with the likes of Starfield and Redfall being delayed on the Xbox front. The rest of this year just looking a bit like a barren wasteland, to be honest. There's not that much going down. Now, I did say at the end of last week, we were going to do a mix of PlayStation Premium / monthly service stuff with a rundown of dates for the games that are coming for the rest of this year. And then we just blabbed our asses off and we didn't have enough time to get to these games. Now, I still have this big list of stuff, games with confirmed release dates, a few things that are pretty, you know, dead certs for 2022, but they don't have specific dates just yet. And then I thought I'd fill in some more gaps with a handful of different rumors that are doing the rounds. Some stuff more confirmed than others. So we'll run down the games that are still coming for the rest of this year, because I think it's good to get a handle on just what the hell we're going to be playing. Because right now it can feel like there's not that much out. So I'll run some stuff down. I'll run down all of these and we'll just see what sticks out. So we've got Sniper Elite 5 in a couple of days, May 26th. We've got The Quarry coming on 10th of June. The Quarry being a Supermassive Games follow-up to Until Dawn, or at least something that is more in that vein, slasher horror type thing. We've got Mario Strikers Battle League, which old me didn't write a date down for, so whatever.
June 10th.
Good one, just to James. I should have come to you first, to be honest. Yeah, he's earned it again. Sonic Origins, 23rd of June. Saints Row, the 23rd of August. Splatoon 3, the 9th of September. Forspoken is coming the 11th of October, but the current rumor is that Square Enix are actually going to be replacing that with Final Fantasy 16, so hopefully they stick to the same date, and Gotham Knights the 25th of October. Which of those games, Mr. Josh Brown, doing a little finger...
What are you doing?
He's doing a finger gun. I can't ignore a finger gun.
James Dowse has been the golden goose of the past few weeks, and
he's had a stressful afternoon. He's had a struggle.
Why am I here?
He puts his head to the side and he gets very angry. I can't Spider-Man 3.
Change it up.
James Dowse has emo Peter Parker himself
for doing a little dance before we came in.
Things have changed. You know what, James? I'm going to actually pass this over to you. You seemed like you had something vital and interesting to say. So if this doesn't live up...
I was going to say, who cares about any of this? Toy Story 2's coming.
Which we did. That's,
we talk about
that's
every
us,
week.
Right? Yeah, like, surely the people at Sony listen to us talking about Toy Story 2, the game,
well, we
and then
did.
Put it on that list.
We did a pod 3-4 weeks ago about the best 6 out of 10 games of all time, and I'm not saying that Toy Story 2 is a 6 out of 10 game, but the energy of those overlooked games is in that general bracket, and something like Toy Story 2 on the PlayStation 1 / N64 or wherever you played it is just, it's one of those gems that you played when you were a bit younger, and I kind of think it's nuts that it's on the PlayStation Premium service. Like, I love that. I like the fact that they went to Disney or whoever's in charge of that game license and just said, can we get this? I think it blows everything wide open. It maybe means that, you know, we'll get Simpsons Hit and Run. It could mean absolutely anything.
Absolutely. It's such a strange thing to see on that list because the list of classics, especially PlayStation 1 games and 2 games on that list, were so small and limited that you didn't expect them to go, at least I didn't expect them to go beyond the stuff that you did expect to get something like Toy Story. So I fully agree that bodes well for the long-term prospect of that service. But going back to the list of games you mentioned.
Go on.
To be honest, man, like, there's still a lot of good things coming out this year, I think, that you've mentioned there. A lot
Sonic
of stuff
Origins?
Like, no, well.
Do you get the pre-order in? Well, pay for the menu?
I said good things. Yeah. Like, I didn't say, you know, mediocre things.
Great things,
But, like, Call of Duty is something I'm obviously very much interested in. Modern Warfare 2. The Quarry coming next month. Mm-hmm. That's probably the next game that I'm really looking forward to.
Is
I want to see.
Five?
Sniper Elite 5.
He's loving it.
I will play it. Don't you worry about that. I'll jump into that on Game Pass. But I'm not looking forward to it with the same feather that I am looking forward to The Quarry, because I want Supermassive Games, who are obviously the developers of this and Until Dawn and the Dark Pictures Chronicles, to, you know, be as good and as buzzing with potential as they were when they dropped Until Dawn. I want The Quarry to be the proper spiritual successor to that game, and hopefully they manage to nail it.
Well, the thing is, they have tried a lot of different stuff since Until Dawn. That was 2015. They had that weird first-person shooter squad thing in VR that was terrible. And there's the Dark Pictures anthology, which was fine, but it's just none of them have really lived up to Until Dawn. And so they've kind of been out there saying this is like a spiritual sequel or a return to form or whatever you want to call it. But Mr. James, have you played the Until Dawn?
I've not, no.
It's really good.
I hear Josh always talk about Supermassive games. Like, yeah. They sound like a really cool developer.
They really are, man. In, like, you know, the Dark Pictures Chronicles, which is the anthology series that they did afterwards, didn't...
Which no one really bothered with, though Until Dawn is brilliant.
Yeah, no one really bothered with it, kind of. You know, they introduced some interesting gimmicks in that, but I'm just hoping that this is, like, a proper big release. It's going to be fascinating to see if they can spin all of these plates at once, because they're still making Dark Pictures games. You know, there's still one coming this year. There's still a bunch of other ones in production, so I'm going to be interested to see whether this kind of feels like a proper event.
Is it Games Pass?
It's not that I know of. I don't think it is. It's multi-platform, but it's not a Game Pass game at the moment.
That gives me more hope for it being really, really good kind of thing.
That's it.
Because, like, Sniper Elite, that's just going to be farted out and forgotten about in a month's time.
Let's...
Scandalous, blasphemous, James Dowse.
Unpack this, James Dowse, what you just said there.
You can shoot a man in the bollocks.
You can, yes, but that's what the obviously, there's all this debate at the minute about Game Pass and whatever.
Well, you're one of the people who've cancelled.
I have, and then all this riot started.
I know
of what I said, but hey, what are we gonna do? But no, a lot of these Game Pass games come out and then are forgotten about immediately, unless it's your Tunics. Is it Tunic?
Tunic, yep.
Yeah, Tunic. And then the other one, what was the other one that you played recently?
There's a few, mate. There's a Paradise Killer.
That's the one. Yeah. All these games, like, some of them are great, some of them are terrible, whatever. Mm-hmm. But with something like this where it's actually, you actually send them money, like this The Quarry or whatever, you know that it will be solid. I don't know, I've just fallen out of love with Game Pass.
I genuinely think you've touched on something interesting there, because that's the same mentality that Sony is trading on right now. You know, they keep saying that if we put our top-tier games on a Game Pass-like service, the quality, or at least perceived quality, will be diluted. They won't be perceived as big event releases, big blockbuster releases. Mm. So it's just interesting to hear that in person, to hear that from someone I trust and not just someone trying to spin it so that it makes their games look better. Like, there is, I think, a perceived, not lack of quality, but a disposability to Game Pass releases.
Yeah.
They're viewed as content rather than games.
It's weird. Like,
that's
it's like,
what I meant.
Yeah, it's like it's devaluing, or it makes them sort of, it's easy to forget them. Like, if you spend £60, £70 on Sniper Elite 5, you will, like, play a lot more of it, or like, you'll try and see it through to the credits. That's why I always mention completion rates for Game Pass stuff. It's easy to just have a bit of a dabble and then just sort of get rid of them again. It's not something you're actually invested in. But yeah, in terms of the game dev side of it, I would assume that something like Sniper Elite 5 is just getting a revenue boost from Game Pass because it is just third party. But like at the same time, that's like the next thing with any remote budget that is going to be on Game Pass, and then we're going to be waiting a long time. So it's
the last one before that was Elden Ring and Lego Star Wars, I guess. Well, like the two games I personally bought with my own money that were
right. Oh, like big tentpole releases.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it just, I don't know, the Quarry, it gives me hope for it being really, really good.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. At the same time, I did see it was like £65 on the PlayStation
Sweet
store.
Lord.
So I'm like, you're going to need to do something to justify that, my friends. This needs to be like, that's why I keep saying, you know, this needs to feel like it has the production quality Until Dawn. Yeah, it needs that premium
feel. I feel like that price point is them recouping losses for how much the Dark Picture stuff didn't work. I mean, like, because this is, the Quarry has like way infinitely more excitement around it than anything they've had in the last 7 years. Like, even the Dark Picture stuff, for as much as it was directly after Until Dawn, just didn't land very well. I played the first episode, I was like, it's a bit buggy, the voice acting's not great, whatever, and I just sort of dropped off it. And I feel like most people in general did that, whereas the Quarry, as soon as they invoked Until Dawn, that was kind of all it took, and it's on our list and we're talking about it and people are looking forward to it again.
True.
So maybe they're just going, we're going to just try and capitalize on it and have a, you know, a higher price point for it and then see how it lands. Speaking of hoping that things are good, though, Mr. James Dowse, me and you love a bit of Sonic.
Sure.
A little bit of Sonic. Are you going to buy Sonic again?
Oh,
I will.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
Do you want a Sonic?
Is it £32?
Oh, well, there's like four versions of it because all the pre-order stuff. You can pre-order to make sure you can animate the menu. So that's one thing there.
How much is that? Is that just like a pre-order bonus?
I think 35,
outrageous.
£35.
Isn't that stupid?
Man? That's going to be on a list at some point.
Jules has already put it on a list. Dumbest things you had to pay extra for. But so they have the original games, the original trilogy, plus Sonic CD, and they're all sort of like re-rendered or remade, let's say, in like almost the Sonic Mania engine, which is to say that they're more widescreen, they've got everything's touched up, it's in HD or 4K or whatever else. They're still those games, but done as pristinely as possible.
Here's some
with more animations, yes.
The other day I went on Google Chrome and I typed in Sonic 2 Play.
Okay.
And I could play it on a browser for
free. You could.
Why would I pay £32?
Well, I was going to say, would I pay £32 for Sonic 2? The best Sonic game of all time,
maybe? Sonic 2 is also on the Nintendo Switch Online.
It's true, but none of them are the remade ones. This is the Christian Whitehead style
one.
So in theory... Sega have been delisting those original games because assumedly they're so confident in this new one.
They did with Grand Theft Auto as well. And then,
well, yeah, there is that. There is that. But that wasn't made by... Well, not Mr. Christian Whitehead, but the Rockstar didn't do the definitive edition. Oh, it was handed off to Grove Street Games. Yeah. But yeah, there's an assumption with this that it's like the definitive version of the trilogy, which I feel like the definitive version of the Sonic games gets sold to us every year. It's just that we've never had the Sonic Mania version of it with all those extra animations and that general game feel. So hopefully it's actually worth it. I do think it's absolutely insane, though, that one of the pre-order bonuses is just you can rotate the main menu. That's a hell of a thing. Other stuff, though, that is in a weird place that could still land and impress us, I think, is Saints Row. The more that they keep showing that off on the pure gameplay side, I do think looks impressive. And I like the stuff where you can sort of just core style, get out of a car in motion, lie on the roof, and then shoot behind you and stuff. And it's like, if they'd led with that, everything would have just been fine. But they had to lead with their worst foot forward. Mr. Josh Brown, are you a new Saints Row fan?
Well, this is the thing, because I've never been a historic Saints Row fan. And I'm not really a new Saints Row fan. The trailer kind of did nothing for me, and I was like, oh, millennial humor, that's going to hold up well in a few years' time. But that said, I fully agree with what you have said in that the gameplay and what the devs have spoken about since that reveal has sounded positive. You know, I could go for a good bit of focused anarchy in my sandboxes, because I feel like it's been a while since I have personally experienced a good open world game that's more about the anarchic side.
I was going to say crime stuff, just because GTA is so big. They just, every other dev just went, we're not going anywhere near that.
Absolutely. And I know stuff like Just Cause has always been there, but the Just Cause franchise has similarly never been for me. It always felt like,
Just Cause 2,
wide as an ocean, but as shallow as a puddle. And I hope that this game, this Saints Row game, manages to have that extra bit of depth, that extra something else that kind of complements the explosive gameplay.
The thing that's a bit weird is that they do have the wingsuits and they do have, like, they're not superpowers, but they have, like, really over-the-top characters. It's weird because Saints Row, as, like, across, like, Saints 1 to 4, built to that, and it got more and more over-the-top, and they were competing with GTA, and it was, like, they were trading off releases, like, with GTA. So it kind of made sense, quote-unquote, for them to get crazy, because because that's what GTA was doing, San Andreas with the aliens and everything else. So like this one where it's like visually, if you didn't look at the gameplay, you would just think it was a bunch of grounded, like regular people going on these crazy missions in the middle of the Nevada desert or whatever it is. But then you look at gameplay and they're like launching out of a car and then deploying a wingsuit and then flying around and like using energy blasts and everything. And I just don't know if that's going to work. But like, I love Saints Row, especially 3. I think 3 is one of the best games of all time. But like, it's, I think it's hard to match that tone.
Because
3 was very like of its time. It was doing what GTA wasn't doing anymore. And then as soon as GTA went, GTA 5 is wacky again. And then they just reclaimed everything and that was it.
I don't really know where, you know, not only this franchise, but this style of game even is in like 2022. Like you said, you know, the other Saints Row games, because I've got Just Cause in my head. I keep going to say Just Cause and it's not what I mean. I mean Saints Row. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like the, like you said, you know, they were very much of a time, of a period. And I don't know how you reinvent that for a 2022 world where, you know, the humor lands in a way that isn't really cringy or...
So far it's been pretty cringe.
Like, or like meta in kind of one of those corporate ways where you kind of like, I know this is written by 50-year-olds, you know?
Like Forspoken, which is drenched in that stuff. Bit,
yeah. See, I felt that person with Sunset Overdrive.
Okay. That's exactly what I was thinking, James Dowse.
I loved the gameplay, but it was cringy. The dialogue really was rough.
Absolutely.
I feel like Sunset Overdrive's kind of been reappraised recently, but it's not like, yeah, there's a reason that thing didn't land back in the day, and it was entirely because of that.
So when was the last Saints Row game? The Get Out of Hell, was that the last one?
My gut was going to say 2015, and I'm right.
Really?
January 2015.
There we go.
But that game got completely drowned by everything else in 2015.
Agents of Mayhem, was it called, in between, by the same developers?
That was like 2017-ish.
You played that, right?
Yes, I reviewed that. That was one of the worst games I'd ever played.
Right.
That was abysmal. That thing, that was like them going like, oh, everyone likes loot systems, and everyone likes the Anthem style, go here and defend this point style mission design. That thing, you know when you hate something so much that it gives you energy?
Yes.
That was that. Okay. I was just like, this is the worst thing you could have done. Uh-huh.
As long as they don't repeat
just
that.
Just don't ever do that again.
They'll be fine.
No, that was them going like, oh, well, we had superhero stuff in Saints 4 and a little bit in Get Out of Hell, so we should do a lot more of that. And then it just played like hell. It was really repetitive. The characters were terrible. The writing, the world, that thing was literally one of the worst games I've ever played.
I'm going to throw out a weird take here.
Go on.
I don't even know if I believe it, but just going off what we've said right now and incorporating other games like Crackdown 3, do you just think maybe that this age of sandbox game, this age of open world game, is maybe just over? Maybe we've just kind of, as a culture, have grown beyond this set of mechanics, grown beyond this open world structure. I'm not entirely sure, but it does feel archaic from a genre perspective.
Do you think it's because we've grown up, though?
Maybe.
Like, it's just like watching Lego towers being broken or whatever in Crackdown. But now we're older and we're just like, someone's going to have to pick that up. You know what I mean? Like, it's not as fun when you're older.
I think the thing is, though, like, because, I mean, I agree with you that it's like, it depends how it's done. Like, I remember, like, Crackdown 3 tried to sell itself on destruction. The Red Faction series, like, the third-person ones were all like, oh, you can destroy everything. And that was cool, but they didn't do anything with it in the mission design. Like, you weren't, like, in an open world. If you were in some sort of open world game and you're chasing down a target and you realize they were about to go over a bridge, if you could freeze time, zoom in, and blow up the struts, and then it took them out or something, that would be sick. Like, for me, no game really brought that stuff together and like made it like part of the actual design. It was just, what if things could fall apart? And we all went, cool. And then they went, no, that's it. What if they could fall apart? And it's just like, I don't know, like, in terms of the is this era of open world stuff done? For me, like, open world stuff became so like anodyne and boring because of GTA. Like, no one wanted to compete with GTA. So you lost all the mission design that would be based around heists or like, you know, bank heist, or, sorry, different crime missions or whatever it is that GTA used to do. That all that innovation just went because no one wanted to compete with GTA. So I'm glad that Saints Row is coming back. And like you said, I'm like, oh, I can kind of go for a bit of an anarchic game again. But it's all going to be in the mission design. Like, it's going to be in how do you actually use these different powers and stuff. So I don't want to believe that open world games can only be one thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you'd kind of hope that they get back to how things used to be and then keep going.
I've just realized that every time like a Saints Row comes out, that's the exact same time a GTA like 5 re-release comes out. So it's never going to win, is it?
Rockstar just finally do a GTA 6 teaser just to sort of blast them from the side when Saints Row's coming out. Yeah. But so we got those things. Splatoon 3, I don't know how many, if either of you two played Splatoon. Okay, so yeah. I played an absolute stupid amount of Splatoon 2, uh-huh. To the point where I bought a very bright bright green and pink shirt. And then it was a Splatoon shirt. And then I put it on, and I was like, I can't pull this off at all. So it went into my wardrobe, and it's never been resurrected. But I love the Splatoon world so much. Josh, did you play any Splatoon?
I didn't have any kind of Nintendo
console. I think
console
you love the Squid Kids.
The first two came out. I liked the Squid song.
The Squid Punk stuff is so good.
Yep, it always looked visually interesting. Uh-huh. It was just, I don't want to shoot paint. And I know that's very, almost.
And you still are shooting targets. It's just that, like, you know, you can shoot the world and then you made a pool that you can jump into.
Absolutely.
Like, you're just making makeshift pools
stuff. I am only half joking there. I definitely will check out.
You can't get a big bucket.
In particular, because I know that you loved, like you said, you know, you played Splatoon 2 to death.
I've completely forgot. Is there a deathmatch mode or is it all turf wars throughout?
They brought in a deathmatch mode. There's a whole bunch of stuff because they did that, the salmon run where you had to go and took the salmon in the bucket and stuff.
Okay.
But yeah, the main thing was turf wars because it was, which I thought was cool. Like, you can take people out, reduce their tickets or whatever, but it was more about making sure that the arena had your color as much as possible. So yeah, Splatoon is like a nice little Nintendo's version of a big premier shooter kind of thing.
And is that their biggest release this year?
For now, yeah. For now, unless they announce something in one of the directs or whatever. Yeah. I'll get back to that in my rumors because I've got something potential. But yeah, speaking of other stuff though, that is sort of nigh on for 2022 but doesn't have a specific release date, and Josh mentioned one before, is Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. There's also God of War Ragnarok, and there's Scorn, which is hopefully coming to Xbox. It's kind of like an H.R. Giger style horror thing. And there's Stray, which is assumedly the next PlayStation exclusive, where you play as a cat in this like cyberpunky world with a bunch of robots. And there's The Chant, which Mr. Josh Brown wanted me to include, but I don't know what The Chant is.
Yeah, it was just I think it was re-announced last week when we were putting together the list for this, and it's just like this strange, like, third person cosmic horror game. And it's one of those that looks a little bit ropey but might have a lot of charm in the ropey,
like a Mundane,
a little bit like that. Yeah, so I'm going to be interested to see how this turns out, because I think I was talking to you, Scott, before we did one podcast 1 week, where I was like, where are the horror games this year? Like, we've got The Quarry coming up, as we mentioned, we've got this, and then we've got Scorn, but they all seem waited, perhaps, you know, understandably, for Halloween towards the second half of the year. So I'm just kind of waiting for a really good horror game to come out that I can badger you about until you play an hour of it and then tell me it's bad.
I probably will.
Why do I keep seeing Friday the 13th everywhere? Has that just been re-released?
Evil Dead, sorry.
Has that just been... released.
Yes, that came out last week, even though it had zero marketing budget.
That's what I thought.
The thing with Evil Dead, though, for as much as I'm really enjoying it, it's not really a horror game like it is, but it's like action horror, you know? Right. Like, you don't play that game to get scared, you know? Like, you play it to see a lot of gore and what have you. So I want something a bit more psychological.
You make a very good point, considering, was it just last year we had Visage? Was that the year before?
The year before.
But like, yeah, genuinely terrifying horror games. Mm-hmm. Like, there hasn't been any this year so far. Or at least anything of any real note, anyway. But yeah, God of War Ragnarok seems like one of the biggest question marks, because Sony very recently have started showing more accessibility videos, which I saw someone round up. Apparently there's nearly always a timeline between when Sony show off accessibility features for their next big game, and it's nearly always about 2 weeks later we get a full-on gameplay reveal.
Right.
And people cited this for Last of Us was one of the last times they did it, Last of Us Part 2. And there were two other sort of major exclusives that they did it for. And because these videos that are showing off the accessibility features are just in-game for Ragnarok, assumedly that's a confident enough build for them to potentially show off. So if God of War Ragnarok is in a better state than we assume that it has been, because Corey Barlog was just doing in-person updates and stuff, maybe we are getting God of War Ragnarok later this year. What do you guys think of that? Just them just sort of swinging in and go, hey, by the way, God of War Ragnarok.
I don't want to be too negative, but if this is coming out this year, I need to see more.
Yeah,
and if the rumors are right that we're not going to get a big PlayStation showcase until maybe September at the earliest, we need some kind of state of play before then. If this thing's coming out this year, please ramp up the marketing. I know it would sell anyway, but come on, man. This could be one of the biggest, probably the biggest game of the year.
It's one of the weirdest sequels, because I still think God of War, the 2018 one, is like the best, one of the best games of all time, the best PlayStation exclusive of all time. Ragnarok is this weird little, it's not a wet fart, but it's the weirdest thing because it's on PS4 as well, and they've started showing more updated graphics. There was like a before and after thing doing the rounds. And so like, it looks solid enough, but even in the accessibility videos, in terms of base gameplay, if you told me that was the original game, I wouldn't even know. Like, I would be like, oh yeah, sure, like, it looks the same.
What did you think about Forbidden West compared to...
Like a visual uptick and more lens flares. Yeah. Like, it's just, it's nothing for me, but I know that's like...
So do you think it would be the exact same as that, just a sequel that feels like an expansion that's just...
Kind of, because for me, there's only so much you can do when it's cross-platform. Yeah. Like, and it's just you're still the absolute guts of it's left to work on the PlayStation 4. So you're not going to really be able to take advantage of the SSD or whatever level design you might want to do that would be loaded in that way, or whatever game features you can think of. So that's completely subjective. But like, I'm just like, that's kind of boring because it's on PS4 as well, and I want PS5 only stuff.
I don't agree with you in this specific instance for God of War. Mm-hmm. However, I do think Sony needs some kind of PS5 knockout. Because
yes.
It feels weird that there hasn't been one. Horizon Forbidden West looked incredible, mm-hmm. but it didn't feel fully next-gen IMO. And for me, stuff that we even had before then felt more next-gen, like Ratchet and Clank or what have you.
Yeah,
It feels strange that we are going into the end of this year without something that looks proper next gen, if that makes sense. I know we have Final Fantasy 16 potentially coming out. That's a PS5 exclusive. But even then, one of the biggest criticisms of that reveal trailer was these graphics don't look that amazing, you know? So maybe I'm being greedy.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
But I want a knockout of some kind. Yeah.
I think you buy a system that is purported to do a certain thing, which is assumedly have access to a whole new generation of games, and then it's weird when you don't have something that you can hold up and go, I'm glad I bought this because it can do that. Like, we don't have that. We don't have the thing that only the PS5 can do, and I'm just like, Rift Apart was so exciting in that regard because it was like, here, look, it's loading a whole level in a second, and it's like, that's really cool. Like, if they made that more of a gameplay mechanic or something, do something where you look at it and go, that wasn't possible before.
Yeah.
There's just something a little bit deflating about, like, God of War comes out and it's brilliant. The writing, I'm sure, will be stellar. But if I look at it and go, well, that could have been on PS4, that's a little bit boring to me.
It's like we're getting teased with these Unreal Engine 5 demos
that
as well.
Stuff.
Which just are mind-blowing.
The Matrix thing?
Yeah, like, the Matrix thing.
Matrix Awakened or whatever it was called. I was like, that looks unbelievable.
Yeah.
Why is that not here?
Like, that's it. And obviously, you know, it goes without saying there's a lot of issues with the development pipeline and what have you. But at the same time, you know, we bought these consoles going on 2 years now, and we're still getting teased of what next gen could be with Unreal Engine 5.
That was kind of the funny thing with them, Sony adding variable refresh rate, because it was like, that's already been on Xbox, PC, I've had that for the longest time. And it was like, now everything can run in 60, or in theory, but it's the most quality of life basic thing they could have added.
I think you two are forgetting Gran Turismo 7.
Whoa. Yeah, those windows are shiny.
Hey, those windows are shiny. Those NPCs in the background are PS2 sprites. You made of paper, made of cardboard.
Terrible. Returnal. Why do you keep forgetting about that game?
Do not bring this up again.
You could run that on a PS2. That would be completely playable on a PlayStation 2.
There's so many colours, man.
The colours?
Ridiculous.
You can't
ridiculous.
Sell your next gen with the colours. Anyway, we should pivot into, so, Mr. Josh Brown.
Well, I was just about to say, if we're pivoting into rumours, could I throw in a curveball into this podcast? Because I was messaged on Twitter the other day after we did maybe the last podcast of the podcast before by someone called Phil Marshall, who is a listener and watcher.
I love that you said he's called like Rim Giant, and he's just letting you know.
Anyway, message me saying, you know, like, very grateful, like, love the podcast, listen to the videos and stuff, so thank you so much. However, they made a good point in that I had an oversight when we were talking about the potential slate, because I didn't mention at all the potential of PSVR 2 releasing this year. And I thought, Phil, thank you so much for reminding me, because if that piece of hardware drops, which it isn't rumored to, admittedly, I think it's rumored for the first half of 2023, but should that thing drop, that, my friends, would make the gaming year for me. That would genuinely make this one of the best gaming years, IMO, to have Elden Ring and then have PSVR 2 to look forward to.
And what
to.
Game on it?
Half-Life Alyx, my friend. And Horizon, the Call of the Wild.
Call of the Wild? Okay. Yeah. Call of the Mountain?
Call of the Mountain, that's it. That's sure. it, Call of the Mountain.
Yeah.
But what do you guys think this will drop? Are you looking forward to? By your muted responses in person right now, I'm guessing this wouldn't change anything for you this year.
This will be the first VR headset that I buy.
Is that true?
I will get it.
Okay.
I mean, I'll get it because it's me, but I'm not going to play for very long.
Well, unless there's, you know, Astrobot's Playroom 2 on it.
It could happen, my friend.
I'll buy it the second it comes out if that's on it.
I bought the PSVR for No Man's Sky because they did the VR update and I was like, it's like I'm sitting in a mech, or it's like I'm sitting in a ship or whatever. That's really cool. For me, like, it needs something that is fundamentally only playable on VR, which I know Alyx is the closest to that. It, like, the way you interact with that world is fundamentally you need hands and thumbs and you can pick stuff up. And I'm like, that's really, really cool. I hope they get out ahead of its release and show stuff off that makes your mind kind of go places you never thought before and go, oh my God, like, that's such an insane way of interacting with something. That's what I need for me to give a crap about VR, because it's always been, here's another on-rail shooter. Here's a thing that I can just play anyway. And I'm just like, this is boring as hell.
Oh,
why would I strap a TV to my face and like the threat? I always think, like, what if someone's just behind me the whole time? Like, someone could come into my house and I'm sitting playing that Until Dawn spin-off thing and someone's just standing behind me just robbing me and I have no idea.
Could that not happen anywhere? If you were just watching
I would
hear the television.
Them. I guess so. I've been leaving my door open the whole time. But that's like a whole separate thing. But in terms of what the medium does, like, as VR as a medium, like, for me, it's yet to really come across to the console people like me. And it took me a few years, but I got frame rates eventually. Maybe I'll get VR eventually.
I hope so, because I can only reiterate that some of my favorite gaming experiences and multimedia experiences over the past few years have been VR related, man. Playing stuff like The Walking Dead Saints and Sinners, which has a sequel at the end of the year. So if that came to PSVR 2, I would be on that thing day one. But there are just, granted, there aren't loads of games, but there are select games, man, that I just think are pure knockouts for it. And
I will say that I think if the tech is perfected, it'll get there, because I played Super Hot I played a bunch of stuff, but Super Hot I love. I'm one of the coolest first-person shooters. But it was when I was playing it and the tracking would go off, so my guy's hand would just slowly float away from me in the game. Right. And so one of our editors, Dan Durkin, brought in his Oculus Quest, and I played like half an hour of the Resident Evil 4 in VR. That was way more mind-blowing in half an hour than anything on PSVR, because the Quest tech maps you so much better. And it was like I was there. Like, I was responding to stuff. Things were coming up my head. I was dodging them. All the reload animations, all that stuff was so sublime. And I didn't need a lifelike graphics engine, because it just felt like I was there. So if they can nail the tech side of it, I think that goes a long way to making it work.
I was going
to
say, does that not make you more excited for PSVR 2? Because obviously PSVR 2 is built from the ground up this time with all of these ideas in mind. It's no longer like, we're going to retrofit the Move controllers and see
if
this works.
The thing.
It seems way more streamlined, way more like
built for
consciously
PSVR.
Built. Yeah, built.
You would hope so. I mean, yeah, I hope so. But it depends on the games. Like, what are you doing with it? Like, in that Horizon thing, is that just going to be, here's a bow and arrow, you're pulling it back, you're firing a bow and arrow? Yeah. Like, I don't know.
Did the first one sell well?
It sold well. Yeah, right, it's, okay. At least initially at first, it sold like a couple of million. I know Sony said it sold better than they expected to. I'm not sure how that lasted over its entire lifespan, but it definitely sold well to start with.
And did they have any exclusive games that were Sony developed?
They had stuff like Astrobot.
That one that was the getaway one that wasn't the getaway.
Yeah, Blood and Truth. Yeah, okay. Which was quite good. They had a few others, like Until Dawn, Rush of Blood was really good, right. Admittedly on rails. So they had a few smatterings. I would like to see them push that more this time around. And hopefully, I don't think they'll ever do this, but create like a Half-Life Alyx competitor. Yeah. If they had their own one, that'd be great.
You mentioned that Until Dawn thing. It was on rails, and I cited on rails shooters as part of the problem before. However, in Until Dawn, Rush of Blood. You could target two different enemies at the same time. Like two different like spills of enemies were coming through a level, and I was like doing the John Wick, the Equilibrium, the Matrix style thing of like both guns out, both arms out, looking back and forward as I shot both guys, and I was like, okay, this is fundamentally not doable on a controller.
Yeah.
This is what it needs more of. I need stuff where I think in a different way.
Yes.
And I'm like fundamentally only able to take out these dudes by being in VR. And I was like, that's what you need more of. Let me grab a human shield with one arm and shoot some other dude and then do whatever. Like, give me those things. Like,
100%.
If you build something around that, it'll be a lot cooler.
All I will say is that my 50 plus year old father, hasn't played a game since Gears of War 2,
nice,
back in the day.
That's a good time to jump off, to be honest.
It is. Yeah. However, put him on the PlayStation VR, put him on Until Dawn, Rush of Blood when that came out. Never seen a man happier. Never seen a man have more fun with a television strapped to his head. He loved it, which is my litmus test for this thing must be quite good if it's getting non-gamers in.
Did everyone's dads have a time when they all played Time Crisis with a G-Con 45?
No, mine didn't.
My dad used to love light gun games. It was like Point Break and or Point Blank. Point Break's the movie. Point Blank is the game. And Time Crisis with a G-Con 45, which you can't buy anymore because it just looks like a gun. But back in the day, it was a big old lovely gun.
That's so annoying because that would be like a perfect future Christmas or birthday present, wouldn't it? Dad, remember when you loved this?
Yeah.
Here it is again.
They don't work on new TVs, sadly. But if you get an old TV or whatever, get yourself a G-Con 45.
See, all we used to play was iToy. Remember that?
iToy was amazing. Yes.
That's what PS5 needs.
One of my friends iToy 2. Of all the things they're bringing, put that on PlayStation Premium Plus. Like, use the phone to beam it in. Yeah, one of my friends sold their entire game collection and all their other consoles to get an iToy. And then they played that wishy-washy Windows.
Yeah, the best one.
And then they were like, it's not worth it, mate. It's not worth it. I was just, that's because you've sold everything you own to play wishy-washy Windows. The wishy-washy Windows song was brilliant, though.
It was
when I'm cleaning Windows. It's brilliant. on that note, we will talk about some rumors that only a handful, I think, are worth highlighting. However, they're pretty cool. So the first thing comes from a range of sources, including Account NGT and Nick Baker over on the Xbox Era podcast, saying that, like Josh said before, Sony Showcase is apparently scheduled for September. But both these accounts say that not only will Sly Cooper 5 be announced, but an all-new Infamous is going to be revealed as well, assumedly some sort of reboot. One of the other things that goes alongside this is that September 2022 is Sly Cooper's 20th anniversary. So it makes sense for Sony to get back behind that. There's also the Sly Cooper animated show that apparently was finished and just never released. I don't know why they sat on that. I guess they were just like, well, it's not the right time for Sly Cooper, but maybe they do something with that as well. But what do you guys think of both these IP? I couldn't care less about Infamous, but give me all the Sly Cooper in the world.
I'm also at a kind of, impasse with this because I would like to see more Infamous. That said, if it's Sucker Punch who is developing it, I'd rather them focus on Ghost of Tsushima.
Or anything,
way more exciting than an older franchise. Mm-hmm. But it would be a weird play if their big things for this year going into next year were a new Infamous and, a new Sly Cooper. It's double hit.
Do you think they're doing Infamous because of the superhero boom?
Absolutely.
Like, think someone's just going like, all the kids like superheroes, and then all the kids are going, we're sick of these shows, Dad. There's five MCU shows, and I can't do any more of them. No, you get an Infamous. That's what you need now.
I think there's potential for it because the power set amongst the Infamous games, whether it's the originals or whether it's Second Son, I like visually inspired. They're cool. They're different. It's not something we see in every other superhero game. So hopefully, they can etch out a space in that territory that isn't necessarily like licensed and stuff we know from comic books. Mm-hmm. And maybe Sony's looking at the license fees for like their Marvel games and going, well, what if we just did that with our in-house properties? Yeah. Superheroes are in. People love Spider-Man. Why don't we just get this one back?
Cole McGrath can swing through the city now.
Yes, makes it work. Swing on the lightning.
Mr. James Dowse, what do you think of, I guess, Sly Cooper? Sorry, no, Sly Cooper. Well, either of them, really.
Well, I've not played Sly Cooper, but Infamous. Oh. Yeah, I'd rather them just do Ghost of Tsushima 2.
Yeah,
to be honest,
it's weird with Infamous because I always find that like people know the name and it's like, oh my, you know, everyone kind of has a vague association of like visually what that thing plays like, but no one loses their mind over Infamous. Like, and it's not like I didn't play both those games through. I didn't finish Second Son because I just thought the combat just got too annoying with it. But there's a weird like floaty kind of sensibility to them that I just feel they just didn't land as much as they could have done or should have done.
Put that and Killzone in the same bubble for me. Ooh, where I've just like, okay.
Interesting. I think Killzone's a lot worse off, I think, for me personally. But it's...
Infamous is definitely good. It is a very good game. Mm. But I
know what you mean, like sort of like failed experiments.
Yes.
Yeah.
Next one down, which is something that did the rounds earlier this week, but I think it's just a fun talking point, is Death Stranding 2.
Oh!
Because Mr. Norman Reedus was talking to leoedit.com and just randomly, casually mentioned that Death Stranding 2. He was talking about how long it took to make the first one, and then he just went, oh yeah, we just started the second one. And then they moved on to the next question. He said, and maybe it took about 2 to 3 years to finish all the motion capture sessions and everything for Death Stranding 1. It takes a lot of work, and then the game comes out. It won a whole bunch of awards. It was a huge thing, and we just started part two of that. So he's very much out there talking about it. Hideo Kojima kind of addressed this, did a little tweet, which was shot as if he was threatening Norman Reedus with a big old baseball bat. But I don't know whether they shot that beforehand. Kojima just tweeted saying, go to your private room, my friend, to Norman Reedus. But either way, they're talking about it. Also, this comes after months of Kojima tweeting stuff with the Bridges logo in the background, or Yoji Shinkawa, Kojima Productions art director or art designer, showing various sketches of like the Bridges logo and Death Stranding adjacent stuff. So we're getting it. We're definitely getting it.
What I love about this leak, man, is that a few months ago, maybe even a year ago, you know, Norman Reedus kind of slipped up once already and was like, oh, we're working on the next one. And everyone was like, oh, no, it's probably just like the director's cut or DLC or something. And he managed to, you know, push it under the rug. And this time he's like, I'm working on part two. Part 2 is coming. I am doing the motion capture.
Do you hear what I am saying?
For Death Stranding 2
It's
releasing.
A marketing tactic. I'm getting you to talk about it.
Yeah, but I mean...
It's not Norman Reedus's ride, mate. I need you to care about it. Yeah.
When this came out, man, I mean, I crept over to Scott Tilford in the office like a gremlin to be like, have you seen this?
You slid over to me in quite an angelic motion. I was like, what is this coming at me? This blur. And it was you.
Because I'm absolutely excited for this. Like, Death Stranding, I think I've decided, is one of my favorite games of all time. I love that thing. I loved replaying it. I have no idea what they would even do with a sequel. It doesn't really need a sequel, especially where the first one left off.
See,
But
yeah, I hate the way that game ended, but I agree with you. It is one of the best games of all time. The game part of it is the best thing in the world. But yeah, like my wife was like, what the hell do they do with the rest of that? And I was like, I actually really don't know. I assume you do something with Sam, the character, because he doesn't like being touched and he doesn't want to be around anybody. And maybe you flesh out the stuff with Lou a bit more. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Like, but I think for me, the thing that's interesting is the gameplay stuff. I kind of don't want as much Kojima writing in it. I want more gameplay mechanics and gameplay ideas from Kojima, but I need him to do less 8-hour cutscenes. I need him to do less of pretending he's doing a full motion picture at the end of it as well. I don't need that again.
I wonder if it's going to be PlayStation exclusive again, because
PS5 exclusive.
Well, PS5 exclusive, yes. It's because it seems as though, although it's sold decently well, it didn't seem like it was a smash hit. You know, Sony weren't eager to quickly greenlight it in the way that they did Horizon or whatever.
I'm sure it didn't hit number one on the first week it came out. It was pipped by something that was a bigger deal, like Spidey or something in 2018.
Right.
And then it fell down to like number 38 almost immediately. I remember that because we did a video on it about how it had fell down so fast. But I think it still made enough sales in that opening week or whatever.
But then
to
it came on
keep
to
going.
Steam.
Yeah.
So
that is true.
And
yeah.
It was very popular on Steam.
So. I guess they experimented, with like other platforms, quote unquote. But it's like whether it goes onto Xbox, it feels like a whole other thing, especially when he's been granted a director's cut or whatever on PlayStation, maybe to keep him sweet.
So I've not played that game, but it's on that PS Plus, the new one.
Hell
so
yeah,
now,
it is.
There you go.
Genuinely, one of the most fun things you can ever do in this life is go through Death Stranding.
Okay.
Yeah.
Will you play it, James?
Yeah,
because, like, obviously, when, you know, it's hard to remember now, but when the marketing machine was in flow for this thing, it was like one of the most hyped pieces of media ever.
We didn't
no
know
one knew what it was going to be. Yeah, no one knew what it was going to be. No one knew how it was going to play. And then it came out, and everyone was kind of like, oh, it's a walking simulator.
Yeah.
And I don't know how that appealed to people who weren't in the bubble like I was, because I loved that, but I don't know if that might have put you off seeing
what do you
what
know about
you.
Death Stranding?
Only from the videos that I've edited for work. So I know that there's a lot of greenery. And I know that there's a lot of celebrity cameos in it.
There is,
That's
yeah.
all I know about it.
That's, I think you should go in...
Monster Energy drinks everywhere?
Not,
right?
anymore.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. They're rid of them.
Why? They had to swap them out because I guess the license expired or something. Or changed or whatever. Now it's Bridges Pop or something.
Bridges Energy,
Bridges
think, yeah.
Energy, Bridges Soda. But yeah, you should go in as blind as possible. Yeah. Everyone listening to my voice who's not played Death Stranding, just experience that game. It's, well, I guess wait until the Premium Plus thing thing comes out. But yeah, that's me and Josh will live vicariously through you, because okay. going through that game is one of those fun things you can do. Uh-huh. Next one down is Nintendo apparently rumored to drop a range of smaller directs across the summer rather than focus on a big one. E3 isn't happening, but we do have the Summer Games Fest. However, Nintendo don't like to play ball with Summer Games Fest most of the time. But one of the main rumors is a Metroid Prime 4 one. And this isn't based on very much other than Retro Studios, who restarted development on the game in 2019 after it was initially announced in 2017, have finally changed their Twitter banner in February to one of Samus. So it seems like maybe they're finally gearing up for a release. Now, I know that's threadbare AF, but it's time that Metroid came back.
I will believe that when I see it, because I don't believe that game is ever going to come out.
Really? No. I mean, the thing is, like, it is, yeah, 2017 is when it started. They restarted development. It's been another three years, but two of them were COVID years. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I guess I would, because it's, assumedly, if it's in the same vein as Metroid, the Prime Trilogy, it doesn't need to be a big, lavish, Sony challenging thing. Yeah. It just needs to be a Prime game. So maybe there's a way to do that.
When was the last one? Other M, I think it was called, like 2010? Oh,
God. Yeah, 2010, 2011, something like that.
Yeah.
I quite like Other M.
Okay.
I think it plays quite well. Yeah. I don't think it's, the cutscenes are good and the characterization of Samus is horrendous, but I like that they attempted to like hybridize the NES, or the, sorry, the SNES side controller stuff.
Yeah.
And then when you move it like upwards, you aim like in first person. I think that was kind of cool.
Was it Animal Crossing that outsold all of the Metroid series with one game? It's just the amount of money that's going into Prime 4. Mm. I wonder if Nintendo are just like, why are we doing this?
Kind of.
If nobody buys it, I will.
I kind of hope like the, because yeah, that, you're right. Like there was something about the entire Metroid franchise, although Dread did outsell everything else as well. Dread is like the top selling one now. Mm. And so Dread kind of like re-put Metroid back on the map. But you're right. Like Metroid overall was never one of their biggest selling franchises, but it is such an insanely influential IP that I guess Nintendo are like, well, we can't not support it. It is a big part of our identity or something, which I do. I'm glad for that. The other thing with Metroid Prime is that there's apparently a Metroid Prime HD trilogy that's been ready since like 2019, because it was meant to drop alongside the original version of Metroid Prime, but until things got reset. So I wonder if they put that out. I mean, like maybe they'll put that out as some sort of reminder of like, hey guys, hey new generation, hey kids, there's a this is a Metroid Prime game, and this is what this is.
They announce 4 for coming out next year, and be like, oh, and trilogy's out now. Mm-hmm. That's what they should do. It's Nintendo, so they won't.
Well, yeah, there is that. I will finally finish on quite a regular rumor that does the rounds, but it goes alongside the Metroid thing, because it could be something of a launch game. Now, this comes from Bloomberg's report last year on the Nintendo 4K Switch, but I just picked this up because they said in last year's report that the earliest date that it would come out is 2022, late 2022, and then mentioned that, because there was a whole thing about various warehouses and developers and manufacturers having access to the new 4K Switch, and then Nintendo just declined the entire thing, but that was always real. Like, none of those sources weren't all lying. There were 11 separate sources, so like that has to be a thing. So I kind of just went back to that and I was like, well, what could we see for the rest of this year? And Bloomberg's report, it was in September last year, said that the earliest date for the Switch, the newest Switch, would be late this year, late 2022, and cited all 11 sources, all 11 teams that were all given 4K Switches for development, one of them being Zynga. Now, Zynga had to decline it as well as Nintendo, but initially it was all confirmed. And that was the whole thing, that it was coming later this year at the earliest. Do you think that's the case?
No, not anymore. If this thing comes out, it comes out with Breath of the Wild 2.
Yes, that's, yeah.
You know, this was obviously written last year or whatever when Breath of the Wild was slated for 2022. So I imagine, this is just me here, them saying at the earliest would be because it coincided with Breath of the Wild 2.
That's a very good point.
I think they come out at the same time. I think they inform each other. I think, you know, they help each other sell. Mm-hmm. And if there's one game that would get people excited for new hardware, for me, what else do they have in the pipeline that's coming up soon that's bigger than Breath of the Wild 2?
Is that also why they pushed Breath of the Wild 2 back another year to do something with it in regards to the 4K stuff that the regular Switch can't do?
Is it like the original Breath of the Wild all over again with the Wii U going into the Switch? Who knows?
Yeah. That would be a really weird thing, because the original Breath of the Wild 4, as like GOAT as it is, like you can just play that game on a Wii U. Mm-hmm. Like it's like even the UI is made for a Wii U tablet screen.
Yes. Which almost doesn't make sense. Like if you think about history, that almost feels like a divergent timeline. Do you know what I mean? Like it feels so much like a Switch game.
But you had to remember when they had to announce the Switch version and they were like, and everyone's like, oh, so what's the Switch one do? The Wii one can't. And they went, oh, the grass sounds are better. And I was like, is that all you've got? Like, I mean, I'm hoping they've got something better for this one than just sort of the sounds of the wild are different. We'll have to wait and see. Yeah, so the rest of this year is still, other than the games I mentioned earlier on, there's enough stuff to talk about spread across. There's pretty much one title a month, really, but kind of just one.
Oi. You know what's incredibly telling?
Oi.
We missed Gotham Knights.
No, we didn't.
Did we not?
Well, I mentioned
we didn't talk about it.
We didn't talk about it. I mentioned that Gotham Knights is coming out 25th of October.
Yes, there's
a good reason we didn't talk about
it. We just skipped over it entirely. Yeah. We're like, I'd rather talk about The Chance than Gotham Knights.
That game looks abysmal.
Isn't Splatoon out at that time?
Splatoon is out on the 9th of September. There you go, then. We'll be playing Splatoon. Don't worry about it.
Certainly will.
Squid Kids. And for now, though, this has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Tilford, joined by James Dowse.
Go to him first. Go for Josh.
And Josh Brown.
Ah, thank you, Scott. I love you.
But also James Dowse.
Love you too.
And we'll catch you next week.
Bye-bye.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.